They call us the irregulars, but baby, we're always on time. Baker Street babes always leave the rest of them behind. So in Scotland Yard they send you home, you feel like you're losing your This quotidian world has got you crying. Won't you 2-2-1 be mine?
We would like to say thank you to our sponsors, Gasogene Books, an imprint of Wessex Press, the premier publisher of books about Sherlock Holmes and his world. Whether you've just discovered the great detective, or you're a seasoned Sherlockian, we're sure you'll find many unique volumes to pique your interest. Go check it out at wessexpress.com. This is episode 31 of the Baker Street Babe podcast, and we are joined today by Alicia, Elliot, and Matt from the Sherlock Fan Orchestra.
Yeah, super, super big welcome to all of you, and thank you so much for coming.
Hi, thank you for inviting us.
Yeah.
So the way that this usually works is we are going to make you guys honorary Baker Street Babes, if you know that.
Woo!
Okay. I'm up for that.
Such a babe, Elliot.
It's very... Elliot, sorry.
It's really, really great that you joined us for our Fandom Summer episodes because, you know, it's basically, you know, it's really, really cool to learn about all of these projects that are going on. And yours is definitely, I mean, one of the most amazing things I think this fandom has produced.
Oh, thanks.
So it's absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
You know, what you did and... especially today, since we saw the premiere of your new project video, which was fantastic. So congratulations, first of all, on that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Fantastically. Right, so what we're going to do is ask you the questions, which will then make you honorary Baker Street Babes. And
woo!
Right. So yes, we don't really... Yeah, you will have to call... Even the guys, you will have to call yourself babes.
Excellent.
Right, so the first question that we ask is, what was your first contact with Sherlock Holmes?
Well, I'd heard of it, obviously, because it's famous, and, well, I started watching the programme when it first came out in, like, July 2009, was it? 2010, maybe? I'm not really sure, but I, like, watched it with my family, and I was, like, in love with it. It was amazing. So, yeah, became kind of obsessed then.
Right, Elliot?
I think the first, when I came into contact with Sherlock was the first film, and that got me interested in the whole Sherlock Holmes thing, and then when the TV show came out, obviously I really wanted to watch that, and that's why I'm so interested in Sherlock now.
Okay. Cool. Matt?
I probably have to say the same as Elliot, really. it was kind of a mix of the TV and the film together. I think the film first. That's quite bad of me, not to know.
Yeah, I think that was 2009.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
they kind of felt that they might met together at the same time when they started.
Yeah, they did. They really did. I think they were filming Sherlock while the first one came out.
Yeah.
So that.
Have any of you read the original stories?
Well, yeah, I started A Study in Scarlet, but I literally have like 20 books that I should be reading right now. So I've kind of like got to prioritize the school and stuff.
I wish I had as well. I'm ashamed not to have done. I will at some point.
I feel the same way. I mean, I've bought the whole box set. It's on my sideboard right now. I have the box set of every single Sherlock book, and I've started A Study in Scarlet, and I've not finished it, and I feel so bad.
We can share them.
You're on the right side. Right, because the second question would usually be, you know, what's your favourite story? But then maybe we can talk about your favourite adaptation.
Yeah.
So.
But, okay, it's me. I don't really know. I love, like, Hound of the Baskervilles. I don't know why, really. I know in the books it's mainly focused on John because, Conan Doyle kind of got bored of what, Sherlock Holmes by then. But I think that the, like, BBC Sherlock, they've kind of, like, I obviously adapted it to a modern day, but it's just really intense and I love the kind of mystery of it. And I don't know. I just really love that episode. Brilliant.
All right. Okay, cool. Elliot?
Oh, it's really hard for me to say, because, I mean, I love them all, but, I mean, probably my favourite would, I'd say, the last one, the Reichenbach Fall, because, I mean, the music from that, because, I mean, I'm really interested in the music. I love all of the music from that, and it's just the way the plot was, the way they've adapted that story to make it, and they've just changed it like that. I just, it's really amazing what they've done with it, and I just also want to know how the heck Sherlock survived.
Arty,
you're gone again.
We need to all send Arty a microphone for an early Christmas present.
Yeah. Just need to buy another headset because I think it's just the mic on this computer that's just gone.
Possibly. Well, we'll send you a new computer then. You can like type the questions and I read them out, or your comments or whatever. But I think, I don't know, let's let Matt answer the question.
out of the two series, I don't want to kind of forget the first series, because I think my favourite was probably the first one, just because it came in all new and just the kind of excitement of having a whole new kind of adaptation of Sherlock coming in as a series. And then, in a music kind of way, I'd have to say the same as Elliot, the Reichenbach Fall, because of all the music that was in it.
Oh, but I didn't say anything musically, I feel bad.
I'll keep to the question. I'd have to say Hounds of Baskerville, because it was so exciting, there was a lot going on, and it was like one of the most tense ones. I suppose you could say the end of the Reichenbach Fall was quite tense as well, but...
Quite, yeah.
Just a bit, yeah.
I found that probably the Hounds of Baskerville.
Okay, cool. Okay, and the last question is, if you could have tea with any of the characters, which one would it be?
Oh, that's so hard. I don't know, I love them all, literally. Like, Molly Hooper, I guess, because I kind of relate to her. No, she's really unassuming. I just really love her. And, or John Watson, he's amazing. It's just like, I don't really know. I guess I'd choose Sherlock, because he's so interesting, and I'd love him to, like, pick me apart, if that makes sense. Like, I want to know what he deduces about me. So, yeah, I'm going to choose Sherlock.
Okay, Elliot?
I think I'd say the same, yeah, Sherlock. I'd just really like to see, like, in person how his mind would work and all of that. That'd be really, like, exciting. But then
you're
maybe more... No, well, I might want to have tea with Moriarty as well. That might be an interesting one. Yeah.
That's very cool. Okay. And Matt, last one.
I think I'd probably go with Moriarty as well, just to see, because although you get like the inner workings of Sherlock's mind and how kind of things like that works, it would be interesting to be with Moriarty just to see how he tries to overcome what Sherlock's like, how he can always work out things.
Yeah, yeah, that would be interesting. That's cool. I think nobody ever, did anybody ever, except for Turk, choose Moriarty?
No, nobody ever did, so I'm really
pleased. Two at once.
Yeah. Yay! Well, congratulations, you are now all honorary Baker Street Babes.
Wow. Yay!
Woo!
Right, okay, do we have any prepared questions, or should we just go ahead and just ask things? Are you type? I can't hear you. Something?
Not type as fast as I can talk.
And now you can talk. Okay. Curdy wants to know, why did you start this crazy project?
Well,
I think that's Olivia. Yeah, that's you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, basically, at school, me and Matt used to sit next together in like form time. And I used to go on and on about Sherlock and how I loved it. And at the beginning, like when I started talking about it, he'd never seen it. And then I told him to watch it, and he did in the end. And then, like, I was so obsessed. And then I saw the Doctor Who fan orchestra, and it was really good. And then I started to think, well, no one's done that for Sherlock. So, obviously, because I don't have as much musical expertise as Matt does, so I was speaking to him, and he was like, let's do it. And then he got Elliot involved, so I kind of started from there.
Okay, cool. And the second question is, who makes your graphics? Because they are epic.
It's like What do you mean by graphics? Like the videos or the like
logo or
logo, yeah.
Any of them, I guess.
It's like an
after story.
So yeah, it's a mix of people. Well, the logo, that was Elliot, wasn't it? You made the logo.
I think so. I can't remember now.
We're pretty much all multi-talented, so I just pick up things that need doing and do them.
Mm. I think Elliot was the logo, but when we have kind of any pictures that come out, they're all Alicia. And then when we had the credits this time, obviously they were one of the people who's who became a member recently, Nix Houston. She made them for us. But yeah, if any pictures and stuff, they're all Alicia.
Okay, really. Cool. Well, they are pretty amazing. I mean, the video, I just watched it this morning. I was pretty blown away. And I just want to know, how do you handle the logistics of this entire thing? I mean, how much work do you actually put in there? Because there must be an immense
amount. Quite a bit, yeah.
It is, yeah.
Elliot, you must probably have the most workload because it's if it's not transcribing, then it's making the video. I'd probably say you have the most.
Well, I mean, you have got to. You're basically in charge of the email. You have to send out all the parts, so you do have quite a lot of work to do as well.
Stop arguing over who has the most.
Not a good thing.
No.
I think it's Elliot, to be honest.
I would say the most workload is Elliot, yeah. But then we all have our own roles.
Yeah. You tear it out, kind of thing. So.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Right. How do you, I mean, like, who does the editing of everything? I mean, that's
Elliot.
Also experiencing.
Well, yeah. I edit the video, so that final video that you see, I've basically done most of the editing for that, except for the credits.
All of it.
Next.
Yeah, apart from the credits. Yeah.
And then the audio, so when we actually get submissions and make them into the audio, that's Matt. Matt organises that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it fits, right? I'm just really amazed that you managed to pull that off.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, right, and I mean, you get the sheet, or you got the sheet music from David Arnold and Michael Price, right?
Yeah, this time, because when we did the opening theme, our first piece, Michael Price seemed really interested. He was really excited about our project. And then he said he was emailing us and saying if we wanted help with sheet music, he'd be more than happy to try and sort that. So then when we told him we were doing Pursuit, he'd been working with Anthony Whedon on an orchestral arrangement of Pursuit. So they sent us over the orchestral score for that. And that's what we used to. We kind of adapted that to make our version.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. I don't want to be the only one talking. Sarah, do you have any questions? I mean, I do have more questions. But...
So, did you do the score for the first one yourselves, or did you get that from somewhere else, or adapt it?
Yeah. No, the score from the first one. Yeah, we arranged from scratch. Yeah.
Elliot arranged from scratch.
Yeah, okay, Elliot. Yeah. What is it?
All by a year.
And how many people do you have participating now at this point?
Member-wise, how many members do we have, or how many participants in the video?
All together, I guess.
I'll have a double check, but they're over 300. Over 300. Wow.
We have a Facebook group, but not everyone obviously has Facebook, so you can't really tell.
Yeah, and the Facebook group's got about 270, if not more now. Maybe 281. 280.
Oh, they're going up since Pursuit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And now, the next one that you're going to do is going to be Sherlock, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's amazing. I can't wait for that. How does the process of actually applying work? Do you just have people send you an email?
Well, yeah, we have a Tumblr and people like to message us through that, but the best way is to just like email us, and then we have like mailing lists, which Matt is in charge of. He can probably tell you more, but each person, like when they play an instrument, they tell you what they're playing, you put them into that mailing list so that when we send stuff out, they get stuff relevant to their instruments. Matt. Say more, because I don't really know.
I think that's about it. I can't really add to that. If someone signs up, then take which instruments they play, or, yeah. which one or more that I play and assign them to a different group. So I can individually email the groups or the members or everyone together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you actually had like really crazy instruments that were offered?
Yes.
We have had one
very interesting ones. Yeah.
One I can think of for this one, which you can actually see in the video for Pursuit, is we had a Kyoto submission, which I'd never heard of that before, but you can see that in the video. I think it's about halfway through.
It looks like a zither.
Yeah. What does the zither look like? I play the guitar. I don't know exotic instruments.
It's stringed. It's stringed and kind of it's quite curved.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wonder what that was.
The Kyoto is kind of curved. Yeah.
And they have those things on their fingers that they pluck it with. Yeah, very interesting.
Like long fingernails.
Yeah, like fake metal.
Yeah, like that.
Goth Halloween.
trying to think, besides that, there've been some, I think we had a variety of things that were kind of similar to zithers. And today I had, things like, traditional American flute and things like that.
What was the thing with the holes in it that they said they played? I don't know what that was called.
Ocarina?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them. That's weird.
Wow.
So.
Yeah.
Sarah, do you want to ask something else?
Do you have, like, I don't want to say a limit, but is there a certain point where you say, you know, we've been taking anyone who wants to participate, but at this point we have 23 flutes and we just can't take it anymore? Who wants to participate, can they just join in no matter what?
I wouldn't know what to say, really. I mean, we have, I think there's something like 70 pianists in the pianist list, but obviously not everyone always submits.
Yeah.
But I think if it got to an extreme point, like 60 clarinets and 70 flutes and things, it would have to be thought about, but
not really. We've reached a point now where we've had to say if piano is your best instrument, you can play it, but if not, then you can't, because otherwise the whole piece is just going to be pianos and it's going to be
I mean, not everyone, that is the point, not everyone is going to apply for every single piece and submit a part, but there is going to have to be a limit where we say, look, we have so many of these instruments, we just can't take any more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then there is things when people play multiple instruments, so it's not like you can't participate, because a lot of members, we have some people that play five instruments and get five parts, so
there's always
some fairness that can spread everyone out.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, because you said you had like a different, it was a different number of participants and of members or something. And I was a bit confused about that. But it makes sense now.
Well, that's because like not everybody, it's not, you, when you join up, you don't have to submit. So some people have problems with microphones and being able to access their instruments and stuff. So we just basically say, if you can submit, you can submit. And then we go from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So British, everybody says sorry all the time.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, if you wanted to say anything else, because I was going to like change the topic a bit. So.
I was just going to add that, I mean, what you were saying about the different number of participants to how many submissions there were, it's just that sometimes, I mean, there's people that will send kind of piano and then they'll be in the choir as well. I think we had, I don't want to name names and get it wrong, but there was someone who recorded three of the four horn parts for us because we were short. Yes.
That makes sense. Right, the next question is, Artie wants to know what your background is, what your musical background is.
Well, I'll go first. Well, I'm not really that musical, to be honest. I don't really play orchestral instruments. Like, I started playing the piano when I was in primary school, so when I was about 8, I think, and then as soon as I left that school, I gave up because I didn't want a different teacher, and then I started playing the guitar, and really I just play it for pleasure, so I'm about grade 4 now, but it's nothing too impressive.
Me next?
Yeah,
you go.
Well, I started playing my first instrument was the violin. I started that when I was in year four, so I think I would have been at about 9 or 10 or something like that. And I've just, that's been my main instrument. I'm studying for grade 8 on that now, and I've recently taken up the piano, so I'm grade 3 on that now. So, yeah,
recently,
that's my...
Recently, and you got to grade 3?
Well, I say more recently than the violin.
But, yeah. I thought you meant like this month or something.
No.
Crazy.
But yeah, and I've always been a fan of like listening to and writing down music that I hear, which is how I got into this really. A couple of times I've written out parts from Doctor Who and Harry Potter for concerts that have been played by orchestras I'm in. And that's kind of how I've got to this, doing it with the fan orchestra.
Wow. So you have a good ear for different.
Me? It's me. Same as Elliot. I started in year 4 with clarinet, which I think I was 8, maybe, something like that. And I've played that since, so I'm on not as good as Elliot. hopefully doing grade 7 next year. And then I started bassoon. Oh, it must have been September 2010. And I'm working towards grade 4. So not as good, but not as... I haven't played it for as long.
I feel so inferior.
I don't know. Yeah, just same... Well, I mean, the same kind of groups as Elliot. So it's just kind of led on from there. And then, obviously, Alicia brought the idea to me, and then we brought Elliot in, so it kind of followed from there. And I just want to mention quickly, when I said earlier about someone that recorded the horn parts... her name's Nora Ann Dowling. I just wanted to mention her because she recorded 3 of the parts for us.
You're breaking up, Matt.
Sorry.
Thank you, Nora. Thumbs up.
That's just fair. No, that's really cool. And what I really like about your project, and I think that's also something that that Michael Price pointed out, is that it's kind of a very democratic way of treating music. I mean, it's usually music, or at least classical music, is still considered to be a bit something, you know, elitist, or, you know, something, you know, for people, you know, from a certain, you know, social standing or something. And it's really, I mean, I just really appreciate that you give everyone who wants to participate, you know, a chance to do that, to go out, and that you actually have the support of the people who wrote the music, that you're actually able to, you know, use that. And I mean, it's amazing, Elliot, that you actually managed to write that music down. But, you know, it's just really, really cool that you have, you know, the people, so to say, from above supporting, you know, this kind of democratic flash mob kind of movement of making music. I mean, that's really amazing, I think.
Well, yeah, the whole thing, if you can be like a fan of Sherlock and you play an instrument, you can be in this. And I think that's what made it so good.
And singing as well.
Yeah. You don't even have to play an instrument. If you can sing, then you can do it. So we wanted to include as many people as possible. And hopefully through this, we've actually encouraged people to like start musical instruments, because it's not just all classical stuff. You can do stuff you enjoy too. So I think that's kind of a good thing.
Yeah, because it's not just things like, I don't know, the oboe and the cello and things. There are instruments like drums and bass guitar and guitar, electric guitar, kind of instruments you'd see in a rock band. I'll pass it as well, so.
Yeah, do you have, I mean, you kind of, you know, you make your own versions of the music. Do you think you're going to do something like, you know, branching out and actually doing something like a rock music piece or something?
We were thinking of, like, we were discussing this with each other and the future pieces that we might do. And one of us was like, how about a Moriarty suite?
That would be amazing.
So yeah, we might well do that. You might well hear that.
Right. Artie, Sarah, do you have any more questions, comments, ideas? Okay, Artie's typing. for the listeners, I'm typing right now. He's saying that you guys are just happy, which is true, and I concur. Well,
thank you. Thank you very much.
You're epic too, sir.
Yeah. Indeed.
Mm. Yeah.
Sarah?
No, I think I asked everything I had.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you have any funny stories? Even on Okay, it doesn't stop there. Am I David Arnold or Micah Pratt?
What, me?
Well, no. Any of you. Do you...
I've got a bit of an embarrassing one.
Okay.
That I've never admitted it before. When we first kind of came up with the project and everything, it was kind of, Alicia mentioned, because advertised it on Tumblr. And so it was taking off on there, and there was loads of all kind of reblogs and stuff. So I took it onto Twitter, and there was a lot of interest. I think Alicia was on there as well, and as well as Elliot. And we were getting these different tweets from different people. And, I was just directing.
Where this is going.
Yeah, I was just directing lots of different people to come onto the, you know, email us and find out more information. And I just said it to all these people. And then I got an email saying, "This is Michael Price. I'm the composer. I just wondered, you asked me to ask for some more information, and send an email." He tweeted, and I hadn't even realized it was him. And I just said, "Please go and read on our email, and you'll find out more information." And I had to go,
wow.
It's so brilliant.
That is amazing.
It was one of those, like, 100 tweets coming in at a time, and I just didn't notice. I knew it was him, though. I had the shock of my life when I read his name on the email, so.
Oh, no.
Okay, any other funny experiences in this project itself?
I don't think so. I haven't got any.
No, neither do I.
You never met Michael's cat on his keyboard. Because when we were recording the podcast with him, like, he kept... like, his cat kept interrupting him because, like, his cat was walking over his keyboard.
I've made sure my cat is downstairs. He's not going to be disrupting this one.
Right, okay. Artie wants to know if you have any plans for the future, even after you made Sherlock.
I mean, well, I don't know. How far can we go into the future? Because, I mean... We think about what pieces should we do next, and then we think, and then we ask, we put it to our members. We, like, for the last ones, we've done a poll, and we've said, would you rather do this piece or this piece? And they voted for Pursuit. So, and I mean, in the future now, we've decided to do Sherlock, and in the, and as I say, now we might, because we, a couple of ideas that we've had are, as we said, the Moriarty suite, and also something like a Reichenbach suite, which would be the main tracks from the last episode.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Prepared to do anything.
Yes, prepared to do anything, or...
Yeah, that'd be a nice one to do.
That's going to make everyone cry.
That is true.
It will.
Yes, well, you can, like, try to get that done just before the third season starts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's taken a while with this one, but hopefully.
Yeah. There aren't any extra hidden delays that don't come up again.
Yeah.
Oh, Artie's typing again. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. Okay, so, yeah, how long did it take you from taking the poll, deciding on which piece to actually do, and then to the finished video?
Oh, God.
I'm scrolling back now on the group so I can tell you.
Oh, when the poll was, yeah.
Oh, I don't know now. I think I scrolled too far.
Oh, no.
It was around, I'd say, the end of March that we... Oh, yeah, it must have been... towards sometime in March. I mean, the first piece came out in mid-March.
16th.
Yeah, and was nearly the arranging was nearly finished at the start of April, so it must have been just after. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. And it just shows how much work goes into it, I mean, from everyone, but, I mean, especially you. Which leads me to the next question, which is a kind of a mystery to me as well, is how do you actually sync all the different tracks on, like, on the video, on the final piece, and, you know, on the audio of the video?
Well, they, like, come in as videos or audios. Like, you can obviously we have people in the video filming themselves and playing their instruments, so if they just send us the video, we have to like chop it so we get the audio and then we get the video, because obviously the video gets sent to Elliot and the audio gets sent to Matt. We do that, and then we have to make sure all the audio is in the right format, so we have to change the formats of all of them, and that can take quite a long time. But then so that was my job this time, to like reformat.
Yeah, you didn't knock out this time.
and then it's
on to me, I think. It's like a kind of process with it, moving it on to the next person.
Yeah, and Dropbox a lot.
Yeah, Dropbox is a big part of sharing the files, getting the parts online and things like that. Yeah, so once I get the correct format files and things from whoever's doing them, whether it be me or Elliot or Alicia, I use Audacity, which Stephen Willis uses for the Doctor Who Fan Orchestra, and then do a bit of kind of audio cleaning. And then it's just kind of, I'll get the click track, which we provide to everyone so they can record themselves in time, put that in the program, and then just kind of file the tracks along below it, and I do it in sections, so the strings will have their own file, woodwind have their own file, percussion have their own file. It's just lining it up with the click track, really, and then at the end, the click track comes out, and we're left with the finished product. And then I sync it all to, kind of export the files and make them all together as one, and then it's sent to Elliot. Going with the video, yeah.
Seems like magic to me. How does it feel that you actually managed to do that? Whereas in Sherlock, at least in Scandal in the Graveyard, the audio does not quite fit the violin playing.
Yeah.
Oh, that,
I mean,
that
you
is...
probably noticed that as well, right? I mean,
as a violinist, that is one of the most annoying. That's my pet hate about Sherlock.
Yeah, but then they come back, can't play the violin. You have to let him just. Because, like, so we're never going to find a better actor, are they, that can play the violin? So
no, I mean, he, I think he kind of, I mean, he does okay in doing that, but it doesn't work, the editing doesn't work.
Yeah.
No. They need to teach him to play the violin, he needs lessons. I'll teach him.
Yeah, it's like a professional violinist teaching him, so.
Yeah, I think it was just like something went wrong in the in the post production when they were editing the sound.
Yeah. Oh well,
I forgive them.
You made it in acting.
Yeah. So Artie just added that no actor who played Holmes has actually ever played the violin properly.
It was better done in the film, like when Robert Downey Jr. was doing the. He was making the flies spin around in a circle. That worked.
I have to say, I've never seen the film because I'm too scared that I'm going to hate it because I love Sherlock so much. I'm just like, oh yeah, it's probably really good. So I'll just go.
They're just very different. I mean, they're just an entirely different genre. I mean,
yeah, they are different.
And they're fun. Okay, so I'll wrap it up. Sarah, do you have any other, anything else to comment?
No, I'm good.
Thank you guys so, so much for joining us. It was really, really cool to actually talk to the people who do that magic. And it's just really, what you do, as I said, I mean, I'm blown away, and I think everyone else is also blown away. It's absolutely fantastic. And so we're looking absolutely forward to anything that you do in the future. And right, so it was really, really cool talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on. And We'll possibly, just get you on again. No, really, I think everyone is just super impressed, and it's just really, really cool. It was such an honor to have you on. And, I guess that just leaves me to wish you all a good night.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Right, so, bye.
Hopefully see you in November for the
screening.
We are fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
That would be awesome.
We want to go. I want to see it all.
Watch it again. See the Q&A with Michael Price and...
Oh, I'm so looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I have so much to discuss with him.
God. Absolutely. That's cool.
Yes.
If we're there, we'll be wearing the t-shirts.
You won't be able to miss us.
Yeah. Okay. Big logo on the front.
Okay, so we have new, possibly new special guests for the screening in November.
Boo!
Boo!
And orchestra. Okay, guys, should we do like an official goodbye, Artie? Do you want to try to talk again? Just that we have voice on the podcast.
Awesome, and thank you so much for coming, and all the best for the future. And bye for now, and we'll let you know when the episode is out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
If this quotidian world has got you crying, won't you 2-2-1 be mine?
The Baker Street Babes would like to thank their sponsor, the Baker Street Journal, the publication of the Baker Street Irregulars. Wow, lots of Baker Street there. Anywho, started in 1946, the Baker Street Journal produces 4 issues a year in the spring, summer, autumn, and winter, plus a year-end Christmas annual. As founder of the Baker Street Irregulars, Christopher Morley said, "Never has so much been written by so many for so few." It publishes essays and scholarship on the characters and stories from the perspective that they are history, not fiction. And let's be all honest, Sherlock Holmes and Dr. John Watson are definitely real. But it is also more than that. It publishes reviews, covers pop culture manifestations between film, radio, and TV, there's plenty to talk about, and the Baker Street Irregulars. And you don't need to be a member of the Baker Street Irregulars to either subscribe to the periodical or even contribute your own article. For more information, go to www.bakerstreetjournal.com. Thank you very much.